Tuesday the 20th of January, Prof. Dala Teves, Rabbi Mordechai Steinhaus, A Glimmer in the Dark. This year is in the course of seven Bochrim in the Kehillah who wish to find a Zivug. Thank you.
We find towards the end of last week's parasha, Parasha Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen came into Paroi and they tried their luck. They asked him, they told him a message from Koyom HaShem, Elokei Yisrael, Shalach et Ami v'yachoygu li b'amidbo. And Paroi was quite adamant that he never heard of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom was something new to him. He checked through his books and it didn't exist. No such thing. So there's not letting you go. And Paroi said that what caused this request to let Klal Yisrael go out was the fact that Nirpim, the Betelim, Rashi says, they don't have enough to do, too much time to think about other things, ways of escaping maybe. And the Eitzah is Tichbad Ha'ad Voidah Ha'anoshim Ve'yasuba Ve'alishu B'divrei Shofet. Make the workload heavier, they should start working harder, they'll have to make the bricks themselves, and with that, they won't have time, as Rashi explains, they won't have time to think of these Zivrei Shoker getting out. There's no such thing. An Eved, a servant who has been in service for many years, maybe he was born as a servant, his parents were Eved and Shivcha, they don't think of such a thing, because it's something new, it's a new Musa going out free, there's no such thing. Paroi says the answer, the way we can instill this idea into Klal Yisrael that they're here forever, is to make the workload harder. But it could be that there's something a bit deeper underlying here in this plan, this plot of Paroi to make the workload harder, and therefore get around another problem as well. As we go through these parashas, the parashas Hashibud, Shmos Va'era, and sometimes you wonder, you know, the Medroshim or Marich about the Koshi Hashibud, how hard Klal Yisrael had to work, all the different Gzeiros that Paroi Mitzrayim put onto Klal Yisrael. And sometimes one wonders, you know, how on earth did they manage? Going back to World War II, the Holocaust, when millions of Yidden, Hashem Yinkei Domam, were killed in the war, and the Gezeiros and the Shibud in the slave labor camps, and many, many, many tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, they just lost it. They couldn't take it. There were many who held it strong till the end. But let's not forget that was a matter of 4 or 5 years. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, 210 years, okay, not all of that was shivud, was hard work, but there were tens and tens of years, 80 years, 100 years maybe, that there was very strong labor, and the gzeiros, one after another, kolabena yiloi tayera tashlichu, medroshim gone about other gzeiros. And one can wonder sometimes what gave Klal Yisrael the fortitude to withstand these Zeros and to keep them going. They still had this hope. When Moshe Rabbeinu came along, it meant something to them. Yes, we're going to go out. As Rashi says, they heard the words, Pokoy Yifkoy Delokim Eschem, and they still believed that, still had their munah, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to save them and they're going to get out of this place. And what kept them going? And indeed, the same Shaila is for all those Yidden who kept going during the war, from beginning to end with their Emunah Pshuta, what kept them going also? It's something which far difficult to imagine. And I think the answer lies in the Maisa of Yosef HaTzadik. When Yosef was sold, his brothers threw him into a pit, and they sat down by Yishvu Lech Olochem to celebrate their victory over Yosef, if you can call it. By Yisro Enehem Vayiru, they lifted up their eyes and they saw V'hine Oichas Yishmaelim Bo Migilot. Oichas Yishmaelim, a caravan of Yishmaelim, was coming from Gilot, from the direction of Gilot. Ugmaleim Noisim Nechois Utsri Valoit Holchim Nohirid Mitzrayim. They were on the way, they were heading down to Mitzrayim, and they were carrying, the caravan was carrying Nechois Utsri Valoit. As Rashi brings from the Medrash, Nechois Utsri Valoit, very sweet smelling spices. Actually, probably the most sweet-smelling spices they used in the Ketores. And that's what these Yishmaelim were carrying. That was their baggage. And Rashi brings down from the Medrash, Chazal say, Loma pirtei makotzeves mason, why does the Torah publicize the fact, what they were carrying, what's the difference, what they were carrying? Lohidia matan schoron shel tzadikim, she'ein darkon shel arviim, Lotis Elonef Vitro Sharikon Ra. The normal dealings of the Arabs at those, in those times, they dealt in Nef Vitro, in petrol, in pitch, tar, bad smelling, foul smelling things. The Lozen is Damnu Besomim. And so happened, took this caravan that came past the pit where Yosef was, the caravan that was to take Yosef down from Mitzrayim, was carrying sweet-smelling spices. Shelo yuzak mireach ra. And the straightforward poshut machshava that comes to mind when we see this is about, and that's how the Balei Musar Marich, the Goydel hadikduk in din. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam kele muna ve'inovel. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam won't put on someone not one iota more than what he deserves. Yosef was being sent down to Mitzrayim, and no one can imagine what he was going through at the time. But that little thing, he didn't deserve. That there should be foul-smelling things in the caravan that were taking him down, that much he didn't deserve. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, that's it. If he doesn't deserve it, then we'll have to change it. And even though the Metzias was normally, otherwise the Metzias was normally the foul-smelling things, this caravan had sweet-smelling things. That's the basic idea that you see in this Chazal. But I thought about from Reb Motel Togomansky. It was a Godel that he lived through the war, and he settled in France after the war. And he said that he said a different idea. Yosef, in such a terrible matzav, he was sold by his brothers, thrown into a pit, scared maybe by the Nechoshim Akrabim in the pit. Chazal say he was green when they sold him to the Urchas Yishmaelim. It wasn't worth very much from fright. And he was thrown into this caravan. What on earth was this going to mean to him? The fact that, you know, it won't smell so bad. So someone of that matzav, you know, let's hope that he takes notice of it even, but you think he's going to be even more disappointed, even more upset if the smell is bad. What big difference does it make? And he explains this with a moshel. Says, imagine someone, Rahman al-Islam, goes through a very difficult and dangerous operation. Long operation, and he's in the operating theatre for many hours, and he comes out to the recovery room, and there are many people, his family members, around his bed waiting desperately for the first opening of the eyes. You know, they should see something, efforts that he's coming back. And finally it arrives. Finally this person opens his eyes for a second, and then he goes back to sleep. And the family members, everyone around the bed, will suddenly, you'll see the smiles on their faces, and they'll all be very happy, they'll all be very excited. And someone can walk in and say, you know, all very nice, he opened his eyes, but you realize the road to recovery is still very long. Maybe not sure that he'll recover so well, but they'll still be smiling that he opened his eyes. And what do they see in these open eyes that made them so happy? And the answer is obvious, of course. Sure, they know that the way to recovery is long, but if they see something, they saw the open eyes, that's a sign, even a very small sign, that he's going in the right direction. He's going in the right direction. As long as they haven't seen that, and he's still unconscious for an operation, they're not sure b'chlal which direction they're heading. They know once the eyes open, they know once he's reached this milestone, that he's come through the operation and he's woken up, then he's in the right direction. They're heading in the right direction. Says Ramotel Pogomansky, that Yosef, of course, to him it won't mean so much. The fact that there's sweet smelling spices on this caravan that's taking him down to Mitzrayim. He's going through such a difficult time anyway, and he's on the way down to slavery in Mitzrayim, who knows where he'll end up. This little bit, it's not going to make him happy. But one thing, yes, if he sees sweet smelling spices in the caravan, of course, in a place where there wouldn't normally have been, then he'll see this glimmer of hope that the Rabbeinu Shalom was with me, things that hope, we're going in the right direction, there's someone here looking after me, the Rabbeinu Shalom will help me, Mr. Shem, I'll get out of this whole mountain, of course there's a long way to go, but it's a small sign of light in the dark. I once heard of all. The Prophet says in Yeshaya, Oma Shoymer, Osa Boiker, Vegam Loilo, we sing it in Hamavdul and Motta Shabbos. Oma Shoymer, Osa Boiker, Vegam Loilo, Im Tiboyun Boyu. Some of you may have come across it in the Gemara, beginning of Baba Kama. The Gemara explains Mave Zeodom, that's from this Prophet the Gemara brings. Literal translation, Oma Shoymer, the Rabbeinu Shalom said, Shoymer of the Oilam, the Rabbeinu Shalom said, Osa Boiker, Vegam Loilo. Osa Boiker means morning can come and night can come. Rashi explains that there's Gan Eden, there's Gehenim, and a person should choose the right direction. He should choose the Boiker rather than the Loilo. What represents day rather than what represents night, Gehenim. One of the pre-war Magidim once explained this by saying over a Maisa, deep in the Russian winter, heavy snow, freezing temperatures, and this businessman was about to embark on a journey. He had to take a journey for business couldn't stop in the winter, so he called along his wagon driver and he said to him, I'd like to go to wherever it was, faraway town, it's going to take a few days, I'll take my furs with me and we'll have to manage it, we'll sort it out. Okay, so they organize the time, the day, and the wagon driver turns up outside his door and he jumps in, comes along with a bottle of vodka with his glass, and he jumps in the wagon, brings along his few pekulach that he needs, and they're off. It was evening time already, and he decides that he's gonna retire for the night. So he calls out to the driver, he says, I'm off to sleep, you keep going, I'll speak to you in the morning. So he settles down on his bed, on his bench, wherever he has there in the wagon, and he takes out his bottle of vodka and he pours himself a glass, gulps it down, and within minutes he's flat out, he's fast asleep. After a time he wakes up, he looks out the window and it's still dark. Fine, okay, it's still dark. Takes another glass of vodka, drinks it, and he goes back to sleep. Nach Mitternacht, no reason to be awake, and he's back asleep. After a time, again, he wakes up, and lo and behold, it's still dark. Okay, well, can't be sleeping that well then. Takes another glass of vodka, drinks that as well, and he's back to sleep. And it comes to the fourth time, he opens his eyes, and it's still dark, and he doesn't understand what's going on over here. So he sticks his head out the window, and he shouts out to the driver, he says, Rabbi, was tut das do? When geht das ending in der lange, finstere Nacht? When's this long, dark night gonna end? So the wagon driver turns around to him and says, Rabid, I'd like to tell you, it's been day and it's night again. You slept through the day and now it's night. You've done this twice already. So I've been waiting for you, I've been wondering what's up with you. And here you go, you've taken an overdose of your vodka and it's taken you through the day and back to night. I imagine the days weren't so long in those days, the Russian, deep Russian winter. Said the Maggid, people can go through life and they can think, you know, it's night, it's night, it's night, it's the whole time night. When's this night going to end? People have thoughts, Rahman and Islam, this is not going good, that's not going good, the other's not going good. On my show, mate. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, Osa Boiker, the morning has come, Vegam Loilo, and now it's night again. If a person goes through life only looking at the dark, only looking at the night, then it'll look like night the whole time. And he'll be asking this question, When is this long dark night going to end? The truth is, says the Rabbeinu Shloim, also boiker v'gam loyla. In the middle, there's been these glimmer of light, these glimmer of hope, in the middle of the Tzoros, which is the boiker, which is the sign, the semel of light, that the Rabbeinu Shloim is with us. But if you sleep through it, if you take too much vodka, then you're not going to notice it. You're not going to notice it, and it'll look like night the whole time. If a person would only look out for these signs that the Rabbeinu Shalom is helping us, it may be a sign that looks like a sign in the middle of Tzoros, but that's your boiker. That's the glimmer of hope. That's the little bit of light in the darkness, which a person has to look out for. If he were to only see that glimmer of light, then it wouldn't look like such a long dark night. It would help him through the dark times as well. Going back a number of years, probably now close to 7 years, I imagine, before America was talking of hitting Iraq for the second time, and I was living in Bnei Brak at the time, as you can well imagine from the experiences in the Gulf War #1, with the Scud missiles being sent over from Iraq, the Oilam were very scared. It was a dangerous situation, and you could feel it. You could feel the nervousness, the pressure in the air. People were worried, what's going to be? And there was a big asifa called, a big gathering called in Kol Chaznish Beis Medrash at the time. Kol Chaznish is one of the biggest Bosh Medrashim in Bnei Brak. And Rabbi Yisrael Eliyahu Weintraub, Zalzayin Gezunt, Einus and the Greater Gedolim and Mekubalim of Bnei Brak, he was the main darshan there on the Motzei Shabbos to be mechazek to Olam, to be mechazek Divrei Chizuk. It was a packed Beis Medrash, and he said over the following vault. So if we have a look in the Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Roi Lo Yachzor that we sing in Shalashudas, and it's a very interesting mizmor. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, there's two parts to this mizmor. This capital Tehillim starts, David HaMelech is talking about his good times, the times when everything went well, and part two, he talks about the times which weren't so good. Mizmor to David, Hashem Roi, the Rabbeinu Shalom is my Roye, Lo Yechzor, I'm not lacking anything. Everything's fine, he looks after me, he gives me everything I need. Bin Ois Deshe Yarbitseini, he guides me, he takes me over good pasture land. Almei Menuchos Yinaleini, he leads me over, Almei Menuchos, over the best sort of things, I have everything I need. And that's how he goes through, Nafshi Yeshoive, Yancheini Bemagle Tzedek, Leman Shemoi. For him, Leman Shemoi, not my Zchus, the Rebbeinu Shalom, with his Ava to me, he looks after me, Leman Shemoi. That's part one, and that's why he talks about the good part. Then he goes weiter and he says, Yam ki eilech begeitz al moves. Also, when I go in the valley of death, lo ira ra, I don't fear bad, ki atoi modi, because you, the Rebbeinu Shalom, you are with me. Shivtecho, umishantecho, your stick, your help, heimo yenachamuni, they will comfort me. Tarek lefonai shulchan, you will always lay for me a table, neged soiroi, against my enemies. Dishanto Hashem and Roshi, you will anoint my head with oil. Koitzi revoa, my coast will be satisfied. And then he ends off with a tefillah. The aftoiv v'chesed yirdufuni koli mechayoi, v'shavti beveis Hashem v'yerechom. Now there's a very noticeable difference in the way David HaMelech talks in part 1 to the way he talks in part 2. In part 1, when he talks about the good times, he talks about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in third person. Mizmor David, Hashem Roi Lo Yachzor. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is my Roye, and I won't lack anything. And he goes, Vaito b'nezdesha yar b'tzeini, he will lead me, Almei Menuchos Yonah Aleini. He will guide me, he will lead me, everything in the third person. Nafshi Yeshoyve Yancheni Ramagle Tzedek Leman Shemoy. Everything is third person clapping the Rabbeinu Shloim. Then he goes weiter, when he talks about the not so good times, the Gamki Eilech Begeit Tal Moves, here he changes. And he says, Gamki Eilech Begeit Tal Moves, Lo Ira Ra Ki Atoi Modi. Because you, the Rabbeinu Shloim, you, in second person, are Imodi. And that's how he goes further as well. Shiv Techo Umishan Techo. Your help, your stick, Heimoy Nachamuni. Taroy Chlefonai Shulcha. And that's how he goes weiter. Part one, when he talks about the good times, are in third person. Part two, where he talks about the not good times, are in second person. And it's a very interesting thing, Lechoira, if anything, if there's going to be a difference, then one would have thought the difference should be the other way around. In the good times, where you see the help of the Rabbeinu Shloim, there it's more personal, it's more direct. The bad times, maybe, where there's more hesed upon him, the Rabbeinu Shloim is not so close, we don't see him so clearly, there, Lechoira, if there's going to be a change, would it be more appropriate the third person over there? And he answered this by saying over a Maisa, again with Reb Motel Pogromansky, that happened during the war in the Grodno ghetto. In Grodno, given before the war, a great yeshiva, Reb Shimon Shkop was a Rosh Yeshiva, and during the war, the Yidden of Grodno were packed together in a ghetto. The situation there was unbearable, as it was in all the ghettos. People were squashed on top of each other, there was nowhere to be, there was nowhere to go. And Reb Motel Pogromansky was once walking down the road in the Grodno ghetto, and he sees huddled behind a wall of some broken down building three Bokhrim who he recognized to be Bokhrim from the Grodno yeshiva. And it was already in 1942, I think, at the time. The war had been going on for some time. And as you can well imagine, the Bokhrim were quite down, quite depressed. And he thought, he'll try and be mechazik them. So he went over to this churva, the ruins of what was left of a building, and he climbed over the wall, and he comes over to the Bokhrim, just about noticed him. And he said to them, Bokhrim, tell me, what's going through your mind at this time? What are you thinking about? So they looked at him, what do you want from us? What even what we're thinking about? What's everyone thinking about? Depressed? Ways of survival, maybe? What should we think about? Said Reb Motel, I'd like to ask you a question. But before I ask you this question, I'll be makdim two hamachas. That means I'll tell you two facts, you'll tell me whether you agree to the facts, and then I'm going to ask you a question based on these facts. Fact number one is that the Nazis, the German soldiers, yimach shemam, I think you'll agree to me, they have no bigger pleasure in life than to kill a Yid. To kill a Yid, to hurt a Yid, that's the biggest pleasure in life. You ask them, are you maskim? Yes, maskim, 100% true. We see it the whole time. Hanocha number two, that if they do kill or hurt a Yid, then they won't be answerable to anyone. They don't have to explain their actions, faket, that all the soldiers will be happy with them, they'll go back to their commander, and the commander will say, yes, you should do it more often. They won't be answerable to anyone. Do you agree? Yes. We agree. If so, I'll ask you a shtake kasha. I don't understand. Can you see the three soldiers down there? There's another two down there. There's another group down there. And they can all see us. Why don't they just pick up their guns and shoot us and that's it? Let them have some fun. Well, how come we're standing over here? They look at him. Yeah, good question. What's the answer? So he said there's only one answer. And you know what that answer is? Now the Rabbeinu Shloim will nish. If the Rabbeinu Shloim doesn't want them to kill us, then they won't be able to kill us. With the pleasure, with not being answerable to anyone, it doesn't make a difference. If the Rabbeinu Shloim doesn't want, then they won't. Said Rabbi Yisrael earlier, sometimes, in bad times, in not such good times, the Yad Hashem is much clearer than it is in the good times. In the good times, everything's going well, and you don't see even where everything's coming from. where all the it comes, yeah, I've had it, we thank the Rabbi Shalom, but there's nothing clear. Sometimes in bad times, when things are not going good, things are going rotten sometimes, when you have this little light in the darkness, and you see that, oh, the Rabbi Shalom is there, and sometimes that light in the darkness will be seen much, much clearer, like a little bit of light in darkness is noticed more than light itself. It's for that reason when the Rabbi Shalom said, when David HaMelech said, Hashem Roi Lo Yeso, Binodesha Yarbi Tzeni, in the good times it was third person, it wasn't clear. When it came to the bad times, the Gam Ki Elech V'Geis HaMoveh, Lo Yiraro Ki Ato Imodi. The Ato Imodi was much more noticeable there. There it was second person already. And I think that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, this is what kept them going. And as we said, the Yidden in the 1940s, when they went through these terrible times, it was the same thing. It was the Yidden like Ramotel Pogromansky who saw how to look for this glimmer of light in the dark. That's what kept the Yidden going. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, my mother, Sigvina Shvera Shibut, terrible. All the Midrashim are marich about it. But the Nisim that went on at the same time, for those who saw them, it was a glimmer of hope. It was light in the darkness, and that's what kept the Yidden going. It's just a matter of seeing it. Not everyone saw it. But those who saw it very clearly, and that's what kept them going. And Pari knew this. Pari knew that if the Yidden are still coming to ask to come out after 210 years of being in Mitzrayim, that means they're still living with this hope. They're still seeing this Rebbeinu Shel Olam, this Yad Hashem, here in this Shibud, which we're trying so hard to be Meshavad them. It means they're not working hard enough. Because if they'd be depressed enough, if they'd be oppressed enough, then they wouldn't notice that glimmer of light. They wouldn't see it. Like these Bokhrim Taka, before they were shown it, they didn't notice it. Said Paroi, Tichbado Avodah Anoshim, make the work harder. As long as they're still asking to go out, it means they haven't lost hope. If they haven't lost hope, it's Nishkin Gutta Simon. Not the good, and not the Nefesh, it means that the Ruchnius are still holding on. We've got to make them work even harder, so that they get enough depressed, and their depression will make them lose that cook, that look, to search for this glimmer of light. And I've had a person, Kainas on Shgein Duch Taurus, no one should go through Taurus. But everyone sees, in most difficult times, there's always, for a person who can see it, there's always this little bit of light that shines through at certain times. And if a person would only see that glimmer of light, and we take notice of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's call, Ona Shomer, Osa Boiker V'Gam Loila, there is the Boiker, then it will be mechazik a person who will be able to live through the dark times, live through the difficult times, and we should be Zoche B'Korav, Mashiach Zekeinu, Meherav Yameinu.